the very end of the Bible, in John's first epistle, chapter 2. We have given all these texts in the monthly preaching program, and I hope and trust that at least some of you have read the text ahead of time. Verse 12, 1 John chapter 2, and may I remind you all to have your Bibles, please. If there is any person who does not have a Bible, you will raise a hand, we'll supply you with one, anyone. Yes, we want to be readers of the Word, and then to be hearers of the Word. Anyone needs a Bible, please raise a hand. Thank God you all have Bibles. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. The Apostle John, writing, says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, young women, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now comes the message for today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Isn't that a great reading? Oh, dear friends, every reading of the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness. Oh, dear friends, we have a wonderful book. Please do not neglect to read daily and to do daily. What are we here talking about this morning? You've come a long ways, perhaps. Some from overseas have come to join us. Some from the far end of the island have driven all the way to join us. What are we talking about? I dare say that we are all interested in one thing, a better life, isn't it so? Life, that's our chief concern. And this is what the Apostle John is concerned about for us. Life, the life which transcends this life. Life beyond life, which is man's deepest and most ardent longing and desire. And this quest for life goes on for some, and they never find it because they go to the wrong ways, wrong place. Happy is the man who finds the way of life. Have you? Oh, dear seeker, who has come this morning seeking, I want to know the way. Here it is. John wrote the Gospel of Life in the Gospel of John. Read it. If you want to know what life is all about, read the Gospel of John. Now in this epistle, the same writer has a message for you and me today. He speaks to us precious words which you will not find in the Straits Times or in any secular magazine or on the internet necessarily. God has a very wonderful message for us today, which we have just read. But in order to understand that message, it is good we go back to the first chapter of 1 John, and this sets us in the right context. 1 John chapter 1, one chapter before what we had just read. Verses 1 to 5, here the apostle writing, opening his letter, as it were an introduction. What is he writing about? Is it relevant? Oh, dear friends, please look at your Bible. John says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, that, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. Now, note carefully, this is what we are talking about. Eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. What? Eternal life came, and we saw and we heard. Verse 3 continuing, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a statement. Think of it. Our fellowship, our close and intimate association and communion, the company we have is what? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. Some people think that coming to church and becoming a Christian is to become a very kind of monotonous life, losing all the joy of life, all the fun of life is gone. Become a Christian, you are isolated. That is the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil is to put the world first and say, you hoping for pie in the sky in the church Calvary? Oh, you're losing out. This is the lie of the devil. Verse 4 says, John is writing that we may have our joy full. Oh, what a great statement, a powerful statement today, that we come to church not because we got no other enjoyment, only here, and then we are finished. Dear friends, this is the place where we find fullness of joy, fullness of meaning of life, satisfaction in life that the world doesn't know anything about and cannot give you. Verse 5. Now this is the conclusion of the first 5 verses. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We heard the sermon last week. God is light. Here the apostle says, God is light. What is light? Without light, there's no life. True? Switch off. Switch off the sun. In a few minutes, you freeze. No life. God is light. In Him is no darkness. All that He communicates with us is truth. And without Him, there is no truth. There is no way to find the truth. So, John writes to us a wonderful message. Savor the meaning of these words. How he writes lovingly. He's the apostle of love. Urgently. Earnestly. Dear friends, don't miss out on the tone and the spirit of these words. Our hopes and desires, our ambitions, the deepest longings of our hearts are available of fulfillment. Possible. How? By coming to the source of light and the source of life, and the source of love only in God, only in Jesus Christ. And John says, look, I'm writing to you what we have witnessed. God sends a message to us, not by angels today. God sends that message through witnesses. And John says, look, we have heard what? Jesus Christ spoke to us. We have seen him with our eyes. Now, are you satisfied? Maybe not. Then he says, we have handled him, we've touched him, we sat together, we ate together 3.5 years. Is that enough? God sent his own son. Before him, prophets. After him, he came himself, God the Son. How else do you want God to communicate with us? God sent his own son. And his own son, taking on human flesh and blood, comes amongst us. As the one who is the word of life. Right? Word of life. How does God communicate life to us? Through Jesus Christ, his son. He is the word, the expression of life. How do you know what life is? Look at Jesus. He is the author of life, the giver of life, the source of life, only Jesus. So, dear friends, John writes to us lovingly. Are you listening? Are you seeking today? You have a problem. I say you will not find a solution outside of Jesus. He is the word of life. What word of life is this? It is a vital word. Not just a vocal word. Jesus spoke. Yes, we heard him. Vocal. But more important is vital. Because we saw in him the true life. How he manifested the power of God in all that he spoke and did. All the miracles attest to a different person. A vital life in him. And his greatest miracle, we saw it. John says, we saw it. We handled it. He went to the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose. We saw him. We ate with him. We walked with him. We talked with him. He is the only one. This is the letter that is based on that experience. And those who will not believe this can never be saved. Come to him, therefore. Who is this Jesus? He is from eternity, from everlasting. And he's come to show us the life. You talk about life. Where can you find it? Come to Jesus. He came to be as one of us. People today are so happy that they have reached Mars. Very soon they're going to talk to Martians and aliens from outer space. Maybe from them we're going to get some kind of hope for Earth. Mankind's vain hope, dear friends. John says, no, we are witnesses. We have known this wonderful person called Jesus Christ, and we attest to that fact. We have heard, seen, handled. What more? So I said, friends, come to him in faith. Now you go back to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. John says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Please try and understand, this letter is not written to the unbelievers. Are you listening? This letter is written to Christians. If you are outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find it very hard, if not impossible, to understand this. But if you are in Jesus Christ, this applies to you. It touches your heartstring right away. All right, look again. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, Not necessarily young in age, but young in faith. You've just come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. You are a child, you're a newborn child. Now this letter is for you, young in the faith. But nevertheless, you are special to God. Why? Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Every child of God, every believer has his sins forgiven. That is the only way to enter into the kingdom of God. Sins forgiven. No other way. Right? Little children, new in the faith, this word is for you. Your sins are forgiven because of His name's sake, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, whereby we must have our sins forgiven. Only one name. Only one. The world cannot accept this. Please understand. The world rejects. The world will accept the word God. But they will reject the name of Jesus Christ today. But you, little children, new believers, welcome to read this letter and to understand the message. For your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake, because you have put your faith and trust in that saving name of Jesus. When you cry to Him, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, come and save me, you are saved. Only you can save me. I trust in you. You are saved. No other Savior can save me. You are saved in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. Fathers, all fathers are included, as well as those who are older. You are in the category of fathers. Those who are fathers in the faith. Those who are teaching others Sunday school. Those who are teaching others the word of God. You are like a father, a spiritual father to someone else. John is writing to you. Because you had known Him that is from the beginning. Who is Him? Jesus Christ. From the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? Jesus Christ. Because you have known Him, I'm writing you this letter, not to anyone else. So take note, all you who are fathers, all those who have been in the faith for a longer time. Now, the third group. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Yes, those who are strong in the faith, younger men, you have overcome the wicked one. Everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation by faith, you are on the victory side. For you have left the camp of Satan to come into the kingdom of God. And you could not have come into the kingdom of God, leaving the kingdom of Satan, except you have overcome him. How? By the precious blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, alone can overcome the evil one. And so, you see, all of us come into the kingdom, into God's group, by the precious blood of Jesus. Only that blood can cleanse us, wash us, purify us, give us life, and defeat the devil, defeat Satan. You have overcome the wicked one. Now continue. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. The greatest knowledge in the whole world is knowledge of the Father. The greatest knowledge, not your PhDs. But when you know the Father in heaven, how He loves you and sent His Son for you, and His Son came to die for you, that knowledge surpasses all knowledge. You have known Him. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. Now this is repeating a vital truth. If you know Him who is from the beginning, the only begotten Son, the one who was from eternity to eternity, Jesus Christ was with God from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. How can you be strong? How? Oh, dear friends, young men, young women, all of you, The only strength you can have is to be armed with the faith of God and with the sword of the Spirit. Because you have known the Word. What is the Word? This written Word is the Word of God. The Bible we hold in our hands. This is the Word of God, and the Word says, this is the double-edged sword, the two-edged sword, so sharp and so powerful, the only effective weapon to counter attacks of the evil one, the Word of God. Yes, in the wilderness of temptation, our Lord Jesus Christ three times repelled Satan by saying what? It is written. It is written. It is written. The Word of God, the mighty, powerful sword of the Spirit will repel and give you the victory. You're strong because you know the Word of God. Keep on memorizing. Keep on reading. Keep on applying this Word, and you are strong in the Lord. Now let us see the message for today. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Just pause here and think. This is the message that we all have been waiting to hear this morning. What message? Love not the world. It is the most difficult thing today to say, love not the world. How can I not love the world? The world is so near, so real, so attractive, so alluring, so tangible, so positive. Love not the world. How can it be? Well, now, dear friends, as I said, this message is not easy. Not easy. Only by the Holy Spirit's instruction. Only because you belong to the family, and only because you look to the Savior and say, Lord, help me to understand. Only then can you begin to appreciate this message today. Otherwise, you say, oh, I'm sorry, it's too hard for me. Love not the world. You want me to what? Commit suicide and go out of the world? Or what? Become a hermit, recluse, go into a cave and hide there. I love not the world. The world is wicked, no good, and I keep away. No, dear friends, please, we are in this world. We have to live in this world. We got to relate to the world. We got to do our business in this world. But God gives us a different perspective, a different kind of attitude. So here it says here, verse 15, love not the world. Simply because every Christian believer is called out of the world. There is no way you can be a Christian except God called you out of the world. Into His glorious kingdom. Where does it say so? You turn to Peter's, just a few pages before that. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. All right? Peter compliments what John is saying. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, a special people. You are different. You have been called out. Verse 9. That He should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What are you? Christian. How did you become a Christian? God called you out of the darkness of the world. Where? Into His marvelous light. How? By the light of the Word. By the Holy Spirit's working in your heart to convince you that there is only one way. Only one and not five. Only one way. Jesus Christ, when you saw Him, when you heard Him with your mind's eye, that came as a call. I heard the call. In the year 1935, I heard the call. You heard the call in your time, your day. Was it not a brilliant call? A wonderful call, so clear that I have no other way out in solving my life's problem except this call to Jesus. And he says, come unto me. Get out of the world, a perishing world. Come to Jesus. The light. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you see, every true believer is called to be separate from the world. And therefore there is a separation, a very clear line. You are not of the world, although you are in the world. While we live in the world, we do not belong in the world. Remember that Christ and the world are opposed, are in opposite camp. You have been called into the light of Jesus Christ. You are, as it were, in his camp opposed by the camp of the world. Now let us have a clear conception of the world. In another 40 minutes, some of us will walk out of this hall and you go into the world, right? The world of Singapore society, a great excellent community, a great progressive, sometimes aggressive society, very upcoming, all the time surging forward. That is the world outside, right? You go and you merge and you drive off, you're part of it. Is there any difference? Ask yourself, is there any difference? Please try and see. Your belonging to Jesus Christ is not because you are in these four walls. Your belonging to Jesus Christ is because you have been bought with a price, sealed with the precious blood of Jesus. He died for you. He called you. He purchased you. You belong to him. So you are his. And the world is not your friend. Jesus Christ and the world are in opposites. Please understand all the time. The world is fallen. The whole world is fallen into what? Into the domain of Satan. Now this is something very hard to understand. But every regime, every country, the whole world community, the whole globe is in the control and under the dominion of Satan. Yes? I'm sorry, you have to know the truth, but it is the truth. Satan controls every activity of human life on earth, except those who are in the church of Jesus Christ, truly born again. Only you are outside of that domain of the world. So, see the world for what it is, the world. The world crucified the Prince of Life. You say, well, the Romans. Romans, yes. And the Jews, yes. But we and the unbelievers, our sins and the whole world sent Jesus to the cross, and the world will never believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Never. But the world opposes. The world hates Jesus. The world is 100% hostile to true Christianity. Do you know that? When Christianity becomes popular, everybody wants to be a Christian. Know for sure it is not true Christianity because it is part of the world already. Today the world has so much to offer that it is very difficult for people to see the difference. They see us as cast-offs. Yes, irrelevant people in society. You don't do the things that are needful for society to progress. Why? You all meet by yourselves and you talk a different language. You do a different thing. So there is a separation. The world is very attractive. It allures and captivates and then ensnares and incarcerates. It imprisons a person in the things of this world. How sad it is. Let no believer, no Christian go back to the world because you may fall a victim to the world. Now, the most important thing you've got to know about the world today is the world is transient. Transient. How long can the world last? You, your term on this earth is limited. Sooner or later, you got to move, you got to depart, you got to say goodbye to whatever you have, all the stakes you have in this world. Very soon you got to say goodbye. Is that so? That is your stakes in the world. It's so short, so short. Now, the world itself, very soon, the world itself will perish. This is what God's word says. You say, where does it say? Turn back a few pages again. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 10 and 11. For those who think, and of course all the world thinks, the world will go on business as usual forever and ever. So, you hear, what do you think? Verse 10, you must know the truth, please, and the truth will set you free from your confused thinking, from your muddled thinking, thinking that things will go on as usual forever and ever, business as usual. No. Verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be burnt up. So this makes the message very pertinent and very clear. Love not the world. Don't put your affection and all your stakes all in the world. Because if you do that, eventually all that you had hoped for, aspired for, shall be burnt up. Here you see. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful, wonderful salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Try and pray. Pray for what? Pray for a sense of history. I've said this, and I say again, I remind you again and again, we do live in the last days of history, the last chapter. May God help you to understand and to believe that this world does not go on and on and on. We are in the very last chapter of history. So pray that you will understand your destiny. What are you for? What are you living on this world for? What are you doing here? Where are you headed for? What is your destination? Where is your eternal investment? A pensioner says, all my life I've worked and saved, and I have a beautiful home prepared for me in America. And very soon I finish my last day and I will emigrate, and I shall live there happily ever after. Do you have a plan, something like that? But I say, dear friends, I have worked all my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've worked all my life for the gospel's sake. And I've saved and earned and invested in that heavenly home. And shortly will come the time for me to depart. And there I shall live with Him, my Savior, happily ever after. Which of the two are you thinking of? Oh, dear friends, love not the world. All that the world can offer you. Please turn to the same two verses. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. What do you mean by love? Love means set your affection, your heart, your desire, your highest aim and aspiration in life is what? The world. The world. If you do that, it is a very precarious and dangerous thing. You say, then you want me to close down my business? I say, by no means. By no means. Resign from my job? I said, by no means. Unless God calls you. If God calls you, yes. If God gives you no peace, yes. Give up the world and serve the Lord full time. That is a different matter. But all of us who are in the world and not of the world. Let us not put our affection on things on earth, but put our affection on things above. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God, there is our aspiration, there is our only hope. Therefore, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love the things in the world. This past week, we concluded our moving house. I'm going to tell you what a relief it has been. 36 years. We never knew we had accumulated so many things. So many things that given by friends, by patients, all stacked up one by one in our wonderful storehouse. But we have to move out of big house into a small apartment. Therefore, we cannot take them with us. So a lot of them have been just either given or thrown away. I told my wife, the secret to successful moving is, the first word is throw. Number two is give. Then only the barest minimum take. Throw, give, take. Then eventually we could get into the apartment and we found ourselves in the midst of a mountain of cartons. Every day searching for lost articles because in which carton is it? Lost, gone. Oh, dear friends, it's a wonderful experience. It teaches us a lesson. In this world, travel light. Travel light. Don't accumulate. Why do we keep those presents? Some 30 years, 25 years. By the time you open, some are useless. Some are out of date. What do you do? Oh, friends, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Verse 15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Meaning, if your whole affection and your whole desire is centered on the world, your heart can only take so much, dear friends. Your heart can only receive so much, can take in so much. You cannot love God and the world at the same time. Your heart cannot do it. It is incompatible. It is impossible. So John is telling us a gospel truth. You love God, don't you? Yes. I ask you sincerely. You love God? You say yes. Why do you love God? Why? You say, well, he saved me. True. Think. God is a jealous God. And he says, I have done so much for you. I gave you my son. He died for you. And daily I give you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to help you, to guide you, to teach you. And daily I'm preparing a home in heaven for you. Oh, daily he's pouring down mercies on us. How much has he loved us? And he says, love me in return. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he loves us with an everlasting love. We love him because he loves us with a great and wonderful, inexhaustible love. How much do we love him? Very little by comparison. So we must strive to love him more. Love not the world. Don't put your affection in your concentration, your mind all the time thinking of things of the world. Love the Lord more. Oh, this is not easy, but it is not impossible. You know that? Not easy, but not impossible. Consider how God has loved us so much. Himself chose us. The Son died for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And the Holy Spirit guides us. And he's preparing a wonderful place for us. What are you doing with the world? In the world? Verse 16, as we conclude. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. What is that? You feel that you need to do, you do. Because my flesh, my physical desire says, I need it, I do it. That is bad. That is not of the Father. Because the Father has saved you out of the perishing world. And you are doing the things of the world, you are leaving the allegiance and loyalty of God to align yourself with Satan again. That is impossible. Impossible. So we've got to think very carefully, dear friends. For every time we sin in the flesh, it is an offense and a grieving of the Holy Spirit. Love not the world. Love neither the things of the world. Neither the lust of the flesh. Nor the lust of the eyes. I see, I like, I do. That's not the way of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world perisheth. You do the world, the things of the world, you perish. verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Do the will of the God the Father. Love him more. How can I love him more? How? Pray. Ask the Father to help you. If you pray earnestly, believing in your heart, in the name of Jesus, and say, Lord, I find it very difficult. You pray this prayer. Lord, I find it very difficult. I'm in the world, and I'm oftentimes caught by friends, colleagues, circumstances. So many things in the world pull me apart from thee. Lord, help me. I truly want to love you more. God will help you. Then you love him more. Then you say, Lord, only Jesus satisfies. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us to see clearly the real values, that none here will be caught and be drawn back into the world. Lord, help us that we will love thee more each day, and give to thee that portion of our heart which should be yours, which is the whole portion of our heart. May Jesus Christ reign supreme in every heart, that we may love him more each day. We ask it for his precious name's sake. Amen.